shining in the night. Keep your flame burning bright so I can follow. I think I'm up. It's good to be here this evening. And love bless each one of you. And we haven't been on for a little while, and I kind of wanted to explain that it has been a very, very busy few weeks for me. I'm making some changes in my life as far as, land that I have and things like that, and we're trying to get it all situated and moved and materials sold and helping my son-in-law so do some things also in a little business called Remove All. So it's been real busy, and I have had something on my heart. And the last time I discussed things with you, we discussed the angel of the Lord, the supernatural, and those things that that have happened in my life. And as I was traveling most of the day today to get some things done, and then I have to travel again in the morning, I was thinking on these things all day, and I just wanted to take a few minutes and discuss replacing idolatry with relationship. And a lot of people say, "Well, I don't have any idolatry." You would be surprised at what idolatry is, as it shows up in the same sentence as witchcraft and deception and murder and idolatry, and which is in Galatians 5 and verse like 20, 21, somewhere in there. But anyway, I wanted to take a few minutes and discuss further some of the things that the angel of the Lord, the supernatural, Melchizedek, my angel, whatever you might want to call this supernatural, how that it has been dealing with me. And I wanted to take just a little bit of time and discuss replacing idolatry with relationship. And in the book of Exodus, we have men who have written many things about this. And in the book of Exodus, Moses writes in the law, in the 20th chapter of Exodus, and I'm going to look at it and read it here. And it's Exodus 21-4. And it says, "And God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so we see where that's a very clear statement. And it says that I brought you out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Now, he was very clear what he was saying here, and I want to be very clear with it too. And Moses is making a statement. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now notice what he said there. It's a little different than what all the preachers quote. It's a little different than what we all thought. But he's saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or in other words, don't put anything ahead of me. I'm first. And he didn't say you couldn't have other gods. He never said that. But what he said was, after he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, then Moses goes on to say, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. So what Moses was saying here, very clearly, is thou shalt not make any images of birds or of creeping things on the earth or of the things in the waters. Or you could say, thou shalt not make any airplanes, thou shalt not make any tanks, and thou shalt not make any submarines. Those are images to the birds, to the creeping things on the earth, and to the fish in the oceans beneath the earth. So we see this. So the Lord, the Spirit, is very clear that he doesn't want any God before him. A lot of people have gods, and I notice that they still are very much blessed. And I will tell you why they're very much blessed. Because a lot of these gods that they have, they don't put that God or gods ahead of the Spirit. They will keep the Spirit in their control, in their understanding. They will keep themselves clean. They will keep themselves pure. And I was talking with a couple of brothers the other day, and we were talking about sin. And one of the brothers said, well, Brother Parnell, he said, you know, John made the statement that he said, he that's born of God does not commit sin. And I said, sure, the scripture is very clear. He that's born of God does not commit sin. And I said, have you ever really taken a look at that scripture and look at exactly what John was saying? And he said, well, you know, I know that if a man commits sin, he's not born again. I said, no, look at the word commit. And if you look at the word commit, does not commit sin. The word commit means to perpetrate, to purposely commit a crime or commit something in their life to deceive others or to harm others. That's what commit means. Thou shalt not commit sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A man is born again, does not commit. He doesn't commit to doing all of those things. I don't perpetrate crimes on people. I don't hate people. I don't try to deceive people. I don't commit sin. I'm born again. So when you come to that understanding, that's what Moses was saying, and that's what Paul was saying, and that's what John is saying. Now in 1 John 5 and 20 and 21, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. Notice what he says. The one that was in the Son, Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. And then John says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So we see what John is saying here is, excuse me, John is saying that Jesus Christ held within him the true God and eternal life, and he is the one that we are committed to, and he is the one that we don't put any idols in front of. Exodus 20, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we see that very clearly. He didn't say you couldn't have other gods. He just doesn't want a God before him. So I wanted to take this and take just a little bit of time with it, and I won't take too much time here, but I look back across a lot of my years, and you know, you get your ego mixed up in it sometimes. You get your thresholds, your doctrines, your traditional things, and And you get all those things mixed up into what you're doing. And it causes issues, and it causes you as a person, that spiritual person inside you, it causes you to not resonate or feel or have emotion in the current or in the frequency of what the spirit is doing. So that ego and things like that get in the way. And I was kind of in that position some years ago, around 2011, 12, 13, 14. The Holy Spirit, my angel, was tugging at my heart. And he was telling me that I needed to kind of downgrade away from these massive meetings where there would be thousands of people and begin to move more into online ministry. It was online ministries were beginning to break open and beginning to be something, and to move more into, when you go into a place, rather than having the masses who all agree, disagree, somewhat don't care, and they're somewhat extreme and everything else, instead of having all that mixture, begin to go to places where maybe you have 50, but they are listening, they are intent, they care. It was kind of like Brother Branham said, Billy Graham would go in one place and have 30,000 people and go back a year later and couldn't find 30. Whereas Paul would go in some place and have one and go back and find hundreds. So that was kind of what the Holy Spirit, that my angel, was dealing with me on. And, you know, I just didn't listen the way I should. And it was around, you know, I was sending large amounts of money over to different areas, and then they would put the word out everywhere that I was coming in, and then churches would come from everywhere, and there would be hundreds and thousands, and it was just a big conglomeration of all kinds of beliefs, and most everybody there to do one thing, and that's to prove their church had the most light, they have the most doctrine, they have the greatest pastor, they have, and on and on and on. So, and the angel was tugging at me to stop doing that. So I went to India, and I went to India, I think it was in April of 2010, and then I went back in October of 2010. Well, when I came back from India, I had been sending money to all these third world countries, setting up things in different places, Haiti and Ghana and Ivory Coast and Togo and Gabon and you know, right on down the line, Cameroon. And so, and I was sending these things out, Philippines, and I would send money and it got flagged. The U.S. government flagged it. Well, then I got put on a no-fly list. I couldn't go anywhere. See how, I'm trying to show you something. I want to show you how the Holy Spirit, how the angel, when you don't listen to that intuition, that tug that was saying inside me, and the supernatural angel saying to me, cut it down, get more serious about small numbers and taking the life to them. And myself, I just tried to go over top of that. And when I did, I found myself in trouble with the government. And so I was 2011, 12, and 13, I couldn't travel. And so I had three or four meetings with the government, and they were telling me that they suspected that I was sending funds to these third world governments or to these third world countries to supply terror cells, terrorist groups, things like that. And I was like, what? But you see, when you're not listening to that inner being, to that person, when you try to ride over top of him, whether it's ego or whether it's where there's some agenda that you have or whatever it might be, then that spirit, that supernatural being, that sixth dimensional being, that Melchizedek in you, he has to start changing things up to put you into position to be where you, where it wants you to be. And so that was happening to me. And so I realized that I didn't know, I thought I might not get out of this thing right away. So I started doing what the angel of the Lord told me to do. And that is start documenting, start documenting your life, document the places you've been, document the things that have happened, document all these things and start putting these things into notes and into orders that you can later on put into books and writings and things like that and manuscripts. And so I had traveled around for 5 decades, and then I remained inside the United States for 3 years. And now I'm starting to do exactly what he said to do, because I've taken all those notes, I've put them all together, and I'm starting to put books out. And of course, the Philippines have put out messages. Their brother Edwin Aromans, just a great brother, and he put out books of messages and things. But I'm talking about secular style books to help those people out there that are never going to hear anything from the platforms that we have. And so I began to do that. And when I began to do that, the ministry began to grow, and the Ethernet, it began to grow, and people began to come in. And I was, it's like Abraham, it's an unconditional covenant. I wanted to do one thing, and it was like an unconditional covenant. The Holy Spirit, my angel, just began to lock me down to do what he said to do, and that is to bring the word, bring and spread the message to smaller groups of people. And we begin to do that. And when we begin to do that, we now have a large ministry across the world. I believe Brother Larry told me the last time I talked to him is over 8 million people a year that visit the website, but they're not sitting in a crowd of 8 million people who are trying to convince them of something different. They are sitting with themselves, listening, checking what's inside them. Does this resonate or not? Is this helpful or not? And they're going much, much deeper into the message than all of that, I call it the Piscean masses of people. So we have this going on now, and it's a much greater ministry, much more depth in ministry. And as my life matured, I began to recognize that I had idols. We're talking about removing the idols for relationship. And I began to recognize that I had idols. And it was around 2013 and 14. And I began to realize that every time I tried to do something, I was busy trying to find something that somebody said so that I could prove what I was saying was right. And so I began to take a look at that and think about it. And these people are probably the worst idols of all that can be, is when you begin to set up, you know, you set up graven images, you may set up airplanes and tanks, like I said, and submarines and this, but when you take people and you put them ahead of the pillar of fire, which is the person that was in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the express image and the brightness of his coming. So he was the pillar of fire. Melchizedek then got into an image and then went back to being Melchizedek, the pillar of fire again, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why you don't hear much about Melchizedek anymore. Same pillar of fire, same everything. So I had these issues going on in my own personal life, and it was like my supernatural being, my angel, was telling me, you've got to get these things in order before you can help somebody else very far along. And that was around 2012 and 13. And we humans, we can take something and make an idol out of it in a moment, you know. And when we do that, we put it up on a pedestal, we worship it, and we the most prolific idolatry of all of it, which I've said, is to idolize men and women. I mean, look at the last age we were in, Laodicea, and look at the idol, the women, and how they were risen up. And now take a look at the trouble that is happening in the earth today, in civilization today, because they raised women to such a high pedestal. They raised women so far up there and put them on God level with their beauty, with their dress, with their makeup, with everything. They put them up there on God level. And what happens? The age ends, and they had these women all up there, the celebrities and the queens and everybody else. And the age ends, and all of a sudden, the whole world can't even define what a woman is. She has crashed. That pedestal that she was on has completely dumped, and she, a woman, they don't even know what to do, what to say, what a woman is, or anything else. We know because we are in the spirit. But I'm saying that's what happens when you take something and put it on a pedestal. Then the supernatural, the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, has to break that down. And we're all watching it and we're saying, they shouldn't be treating women that way. Well, they shouldn't. They really shouldn't. But they put them up here to such a high spot and such a sexual thing that they had to come down. And the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, is the one that has brought it down to where it's at today. So we see all of this happening. And the supernatural ministry has been happening in my life. And back there around 2014, I remember I had a familiar voice deep inside me, and it said to me, and I want to read these words, if you want to leave an impact, an impression on humanity, you'll have to crush all your idols and set on a path that is your own. In other words, if I just go around saying, Paul said, Peter said, William Branham said, the Bible said, Alan said, Joe said, John said, you know what's going to happen when it's all said and done? People are going to say, what did Don Parnell have to say? What did Tory have to say? All he done is ran around quoting somebody else. And that's what's going on out there. And the angel of the Lord dealt with my heart and said, if you want to leave an impact, if you want to help people leave an impact on their lives, an impression on humanity, you'll have to crush all your idols and set on a path that is your own. Stop trying to use somebody else and get the people to worship them through you. And so when I heard that voice, I fell to sleep thinking about it. I remember I was laying there, fell to sleep thinking about exactly how it is that I could crush my idols. In fact, I remember laying there and thinking to myself, I don't know that I have any idols. I don't know what this voice is about. And so I woke up about 3 a.m. that morning. I remember going into my study, and when I went into my study, I walked into my den room, little place, and I sat down and I was thinking. And when I sat down, immediately it was like the walls just disappeared. And I was transformed by vision. This was around March the 8th, 2015. I was transformed by vision into an open field. And I had finished the Philippine campaign in 2014, and I had pushed myself as far as I could. And I thought to myself, if I go any further, it's really going to lop off a large, large group of people. So I need to be very wise about how I do this. And in 2014, my whole ministry was changing, and I knew that. So here I was, and I was sitting in the room, and I was thinking about all that I'd been through. I was thinking about the things that I'd said to the Philippine people, and this scripture came to my mind because I was thinking about what are the idols that my angel is talking to me about. Jeremiah 2, he says, "For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." In other words, they begin to take glory upon themselves instead of placing it upon the pillar of fire, and begin to set up idols and idolize men and women, and took the glory upon themselves which doth not profit. "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." They left the pillar of fire, the fountain of living water, and they went to worshiping idols, setting up men and women and everything else. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I was thinking about that. And all of a sudden, like I said, I was standing in this field, and a vision broke. And I seen two natives, Native American Indians, standing on each side of me, and the entire field changed into a fiery frequency, is what I view it as now. It looked like the field was on fire. It looked like everything was on fire around me, and I was in that flame. I could see the two natives in my peripheral vision on each side of me. As the vision opened completely, there were four men, and I say men, angels, walking in the frequency of that looked to be like fire. They were right in it, moving. Four figures of men. And as I looked at it, I don't think it was a fire now, but rather a dimensional frequency that I was looking at. And it was yellow and blue and green and amber and all sorts of different colors. And I heard the voice of my supernatural angel, and he said, "If you truly want to change," same thing again, "if you truly want to change, you can start it right now here in this valley of decision." This was March 8th, 2015. Angel of the Lord dealing with me. I just made great changes, and I was debating in my little mind whether or not I should have went that far or not, whether or not I should have stepped out where I went to, whether or not I should have said the things that I said, because many of the things that I had brought about, you couldn't just pull it out of a book from somewhere and prove it by some other age or some other people. You couldn't do it. So I was standing there, and I was thinking on those things. He makes that statement to me. And the four men that I saw in the fire, he says, "If you truly want change, you can start right now here in this valley of decision. You must first give up your idols." Then he made a statement, "And I brought them to you." I thought, ooh, so now I get to see what my idols are. You know, in the back of my mind, I was thinking about, I don't know, cars and books, whatever it might be. He said, "I brought them to you. Listen closely and make your choices wisely." So here I am, and my idols are being presented before me so that I could crush them. And the four men I saw in the fire were walking toward me, and suddenly I was in the field of the frequency of fire with them. I was the same flame with them. The four angels appeared to be on fire without being harmed or consumed, and I appeared to be the same way. And we were moving about, and I would call it a spiral movement in circular motion with tremendous speed And they were making statements about them being my idol and for me to stop idolizing them. And I knew two different ones because I had met them before in life. And one of them was William Branham, and the other one was me, my angel. I had met him, I had seen him before in life, and William Branham I had seen because he was our pastor when I was a young man. And so I had seen them, and another was my angel. And I'm standing there in that field of fire, and he began to talk with me. And then they began to talk among themselves, and they were moving all around me. And I'm watching, and I'm thinking, who are these, and how am I idolizing these men, these angels? How am I idolizing them? And I was trying to, they were moving about me, and they were trying to catch my emotion, my feelings, my intuition, my fear, my everything. They were just trying to catch how I was reacting to this vision or this visitation. And so they were asking me how I felt, what were my thoughts, speaking many times in a rhetorical manner, not expecting me to answer, just throwing these questions out at me. And one would pull away for a few moments, and another one would go by, and they were asking all these different things. And at first, I thought it kind of strange that it would be four angels. And I remember thinking, and I thought, why is it four angels? Because William Branham had seven angels come to him, and John had seven angels dealt with him. And, you know, why this doesn't fit. And I was watching it. And so I remember afterwards, I didn't sleep for a couple of days, but I was looking, and I seen in the scripture where Ezekiel had four angels that came to him, and John had four angels in the throne room, and Isaiah had four angels, seraphims in the temple. And I began to realize that, hey, this does fit, and I've received some direction that I need to move beyond this valley of decision as to whether I'm going to continue on in traditions and books and ideas and dogmas and creeds and men's names and popularity and masses of people just gathering and saying we had a great meeting, and when you talk to them, no one knows what was said. And I thought, am I going to continue on in that, or am I going to move forward? So Brother Branham said there were four life messengers that came to him in the restoration of the bride tree. So we see these fours, and I wasn't worried any longer about it. And so these four angels had come to me for one purpose, and I realized that. And that was to help me recognize my need to move on, to step beyond the church ages, to step beyond beyond all the teachings, beyond all the books, beyond the dogma, the creed, the tradition, beyond the message folk, beyond the Third Testament, beyond all those things. I knew that this is where I was standing, and I had to make a decision. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I don't believe it was just me. I am just used as a representative of this age, the same way as many men were used as representatives of the age, Hosea and everyone else. And I'm just used for a representation of the entire age. And so I've seen this going on. Now, I had entered a place of great consequence. That's what they kept telling me. The four angels had come, and they were to help me recognize my need and move into the unknown. And I remember the fear, the feeling of that they were telling me, you got to go beyond us. You've got to stop checking yourself up with us. That I had entered a place of great consequence for my decision. When I went to the Philippines in 2014, I made some very consequential decisions and changes that not only in the Philippines, but across the world, people begin to move away and they said, wait a minute, he's trying to go beyond the Bible. He's trying to go beyond William Branham. He's trying to go beyond all these traditions. And we got certain traditions set up, and these are absolutes. We've been told these are absolutes. And if you don't hold on to these absolutes, then you're just lost like a ship in the sea without an anchor. It's just a terrible situation. And the angels were talking to me, and every decision that I would make in this field was of monumental importance. That's what they were telling me. I was inside the circle of the throne. I recognized where I was at. I realized the four angels about the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. I realized the fire, the frequency. I realized the shape of things. I was standing in the throne room, a dimensional place. It's not some place floating around, I hear. It's a dimensional place within us. And I had entered that place. And the angels were helping me stand in this valley of decision, and my angel especially. And they had, we had entered a holy walk, and we were not afraid of the unknown. I actually said that to them. I'm not afraid of the unknown. I'm not afraid of the darkness. I'm not a child. I have matured. I had to come to a point of deciding between staying in the boundaries of logic. Okay? You know what logic is? It's logos. I had to come to a point of staying in the boundaries of Pisces, the boundaries of the church ages, the boundaries of the seven messengers, the boundaries of all those things, or I could move on. And it was a great decision in that valley because I personally had not ran into very many men that had come to that point. Many of them told me, oh, Brother Parnell, the millennium's here, the Lord has come. We're in glorified bodies. But when I started saying the millennium is here and the Lord has come and we are the Word made flesh and this is our glorified body, and when I begin to say it in a manner of it really is true, it started going every which way. Because it's easy to intellectually talk about something like that. It's another thing to look a man in the face and say, he's Jesus Christ. She's Jesus Christ. The pillar of fire is in them. This is the home. This is the future home. It's not future anymore. This is it. We are in it. It's not things that are to be, it's things that are. And we're standing here in it. So when I begin to say those things and move out of the logic and walked into unknown, grasping the human aspects of life, they were very swift moving about me to say, really, what they were saying is, we want to give you some purpose here. We want to make sure that you're not playing around with your intellect the way so many are all around. And so I went into that circle throne, and they were encouraging me to not look back, and that I had just come to a place of the unknown. And we did. Standing in the Philippines. I remember after the meetings in the Philippines, we had a minister's meeting in a hotel, lobby-like, and there was maybe 20, 25 ministers, and it was a tough situation. Myself, Brother Mitta, trying to guide these brethren through that portal, and many of them made it through, but many of them didn't. And it's the same way in Africa and Asia and everywhere else. Many of them made it through, and many of them didn't. So we were there. Now, we come to the place of the unknown. I was being ministered to like Moses and Elijah did to Jesus. That's what they said. We are preparing you for your purpose. Moses and Elijah come to Mount Transfiguration, prepared Jesus to go to Calvary. They said, we're preparing you for your purpose. I was encouraged by them to get out of that place of decision as quickly as possible. Because many times when I would try to minister, I'd have old thoughts, and I would have brand new unknown things, and they weren't mixing. It was like trying to put an old patch on a new garment, and it was like trying to put wine into new bottles and everything else. It just wasn't working out. And I would hear myself saying things, and then I'd say to myself, I got to get away from that. This is not good. And I remember one day, it was back during that time, and I was sitting and thinking about it, and I was writing down all of the hair that was in the pie, so to speak. And I was saying, this doctrine doesn't match anymore. This one doesn't match anymore. This one needs to be thrown out. This one makes no sense anymore. This one doesn't. And I was throwing all those things out, and all of a sudden, it was something inside of me that just almost like it turned over, and I never went back. I never went back because I made the decision to move into the unknown, to move into the darkness and bring light to it. Bringing light to where light's at is no big deal. But when you bring light to where darkness is, when you bring truth to where the unknown is, now you're talking about a big deal. I was encouraged to step beyond proof, to step beyond quotes of men and verses. These things were like crutches. Why try to prove a new message by an old manna? I was admonished by William Branham in that fiery field, in that frequency. I was admonished by William Branham to move on and stop doing that. And he said, to open my own message to this generation and not tie myself to him or his generation of people. The things to be overcome, and this is what he said, fear the unknown. You must overcome that. And the second thing is trying to prove a message for today by another message of another day. You just can't do it. It won't fit. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Trying to prove a message for today by another age and staying in the valley too long, trying to sustain our walk by past victories. Oh, it used to be this way, and it was so great, and the Holy Spirit did this, and this was over here. And oh, I remember that day when I spoke in tongues. I remember that day when I was, and it's all trying to hang in there on past victories and have no understanding whatsoever of where you're going. That were some great things that I was told. We had to come to where we could be free ourselves and recognize ourselves. That's a big part of it. Recognizing who you are. This is what was told me. We were still displaying fear of movement from old grounds, old doctrines, old things. We were displaying a fear of movement, and we were being admonished to move on and open other avenues, while at the same time, the ministry behind the pulpit was admonishing us and rebuking us to try to, if we tried to move forward beyond where they were at with their books and creeds and stacks of stuff that they were talking. So we entered a place of great victory and sad defeat. That's what they kept telling me. All the angels were encouraging me to move forward. The encouragement was to move on and not become another casualty of organization and the plague of denomination and death. And I did. I moved on. I moved on out of the old message. Then I moved on out of the two soul, so to speak, message. And then I moved on out of the Third Testament, and I moved on, and I've moved all the way into what I call now divine humanity, and I understand it. I see what it is. So we're moving on all the time, and I'm not saying we're finished. You say, well, is this it, Brother Parnell? Do we settle down here? I'm not driving any stakes. I don't know about you, but when the pillar of fire says, I've got more, my stakes are just in the ground enough to live there, and I'm pulling them up quick. and I'm moving on because I want to stay with a pillar of fire. That old song, pillar of fire burning in the night, keep your light shining bright that I may follow. Yeah, that's me. I'm not stuck anywhere. I don't have any absolutes. I have one absolute, and that is the pillar of fire, and I'm going to follow it. That's the one that don't put any gods before me. He's the one that said, don't set these graven images up. He's the one that is inside you, walking and talking, and he is your very being. Now, the encouragement was to move on and not become another casualty of organization, denomination, death, because I'm telling you, it is just one step behind you. They're moving too. And it's just one step behind you. I think Ronald Reagan made a statement. He said, freedom is just a thought. The loss of freedom is just a thought away. Well, let me tell you, walking in the darkness is just a thought away. All you have to do is back off, and all of a sudden you're standing there. The angel William Branham came by me, talked to me, told me, you have moved beyond me, and you need to give your message to the people. You hinder yourself worrying about my message when it was for a different people. One of them said to the other, after all that he's been through, and he is still afraid, when do they get past this fear? And I was afraid. I was afraid to bring out certain things. I was afraid to step out somewhere where somebody had not already been. You know, it takes a real pioneer when there's absolutely no path in the jungle that you go out there with a machete and you begin to cut. You begin to lay a path for other people to follow. So he said, you hinder yourself when you do those things. The angel messenger, my angel messenger, said, Paul, you were just as afraid at the turning point of humanity in your ministry. So right away in my mind, I thought, okay. So I've got William Branham. I've got my angel. And he just spoke and said, Paul. So I said, there's three of those angels. I know who they are. And he said, you know the feelings and emotions of feeling the world with new words of the Spirit. It's not easy starting a new world. My angel said to me, when a person's mind can't rest, you need to rest your mind. And every one of you need to rest your mind in this. Stop debating it. Stop having personal valleys of decision whether or not this is where we want to go. You cannot be deceived. I'm not committing sin. I'm not committing sin. Commit means to perpetrate and bring a crime and a deception upon a people. I'm not doing that. I'm not committing sin. So what are you afraid of? So he told me, he said, when a person's mind can't find rest and be still, it becomes a field where demons are created. And in this same valley of decision, humans become angels in this field of holy fire. So in that frequency, you take form, whether it is demonic or whether it is angelic. You take form. And I knew that depending on what way I went, I was going to take form, and I was not going to take form as organization and denomination. Don't get caught up here and fall to apostasy. In this field is where good men die. Many good men have died right here at this junction, listen to him, at this junction of discovering themselves. Oh, it's easy to discover who Paul was, who William Branham was, who Jesus was, who Peter was. It's easy. You say, oh, wow, they were so great. They were so this, they were so that. But what about you? See, Peter looked and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, That's true. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And that wasn't good enough. Because just a couple of verses later, Peter says, you're not going to die. No, no, we're not going to let that. And Jesus says, Satan, get thee behind me. For you don't savor the things that be of God. But when Peter went to Pentecost, he started pointing himself out. He discovered who he was. And he said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. And he went right in to who they were and what they were doing. So that's where many good men die is, oh, they can tell you intellectually all about Jesus and Peter and James and John and Joe and George and everybody else. But when it comes to them, they don't know. They have no understanding. I'm no good. I'm this. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. I'm not fully redeemed yet. I'm on and on and on. Now, my angel was moving around them and talking to them, and I was right in the visitation, and he turned and looked right at me, and he said, I will not leave you. He can't. It's me. But I needed that assurance. That was my body. That was my Melchizedek. I will not leave you. I will lead you and guide you. Listen well, son, because you're standing in a field of great victory and sad defeats of many before you. The successes and failures in this junction of one's life are innumerable. You understand more than the writers. You understand more than the scribes and the sages. You must define your own existence and represent a generation beyond where you are standing. We were standing in that field of decision, and it was time to move on and represent a new generation, another generation of people. The new generation is not going to bode or listen. Listen to what he says. This is an angel speaking. The new generation is not going to bode or listen to the same rhetoric as before. You're not going to shove those rules and regulations down their throats. They're not going to listen to it. They don't want anything to do to it. The next two generations will require more of spirituality, and their cries will be heard of the Spirit as they move more into spirituality. Prepare yourself to accept the new world of the Spirit and its challenges. That's where we're at. That's what's happening. One of the angels said, while he's in the field of choices, is he capable of making the needed choices to accommodate generations? My angel said he's already done it several times. I'm sure he has faith to do it again. And I do. And we are. We're not standing where they were. We're not even in the same world that they were in a few years ago. I understand that I'm responsible. I understand all those things. After thinking about the visitation, I know what was happening. And I've thought a lot on it. The four angels were angels that dealt with the prophets throughout history. Just manifestations of themselves. And I was puzzled a little bit. I was watching a little bit, and I realized that my four dominant idols that I had put before God, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, what he's saying is there's nothing wrong with having a god. People are gods. You're gods who the word of God comes to. But when you take those things and you put them before the pillar of fire, a fleshly man, a fleshly woman, a fleshly man on the cross, a fleshly whatever it might be, and you put that before the pillar of fire, now you've got an angry, jealous God who said, you'll not have any of those things before me. So we see this, and I realize these four men, angels, were my dominant idols from my youth, from a little boy It's all I did. I'm telling you, when all the other boys were doing things, I was reading the Bible. I was reading the Old Testament. I was reading the New Testament. Every book that came out by William Branham. I was reading Luther's documents. I was reading Wesley's documents. When I was in my early teens, and even before I was a teen, I was reading all these documents, Charles Spurgeon and Finney and Knox and Calvin, and I was getting all of it, and it was feeding it all in. And I had all of those things, and now the Holy Spirit, my angel, was telling me, out of all these studies, you came up with four dominant idols, and you got to crush them. You've got to crush them before you can bring a message to a new generation of people. These angels were my dominant idols. I idolized them. I placed them on a pedestal. Jesus Christ, Paul, William Branham, and my angel messenger. These great leaders were teaching me to think for myself. That's what they were doing. Teaching me to think for myself and move on in a world of spirituality, not in a world of past doctrines and misinterpretations and misinformation and everything else. Move on in a world of spirituality. Each had accomplished their missions and were admonishing me to cast aside my idol worship of them and remove the idols and replace the idols with relationship. Relationship with who? You. Relationship with the people of this generation. Relationship with the new generations coming up. There are people out here who have never heard the names of any of those four idols that I had. They don't know who Jesus Christ was. They have no idea who Paul was or William Branham. And what we need to do is come to a point to where we say, oh, the world is under judgment because they rejected a prophet. I beg your pardon. We're 2 to 3 generations past that prophet. And this world is not being judged by the way William Branham was treated. This world is under a blessing. It is under the revelation of Jesus Christ that was brought to us, and it is standing. The curses are lifted, everything is lifted, and this world is moving into a brand new day, a brand new generation, and brand new ideas. And it's moving past doctrines and all these things, and it's the actual kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, and it's you and it's me. It's not just in me, it is me. It is you and it is me. They were admonishing me to cast aside my idols and to come to a point to where I understood what I needed to do. And it's been a mental anguish for me since 2014 up until about 19. And it's part of the reason that I was going through things in my body because I was debating and I was close to the point to where I was going to be one of those sad cases of men who didn't make it through that valley of decision. And I remember one evening when I had that liver surgery and bile duct cancer, and I was laying there unconscious, and that angel came to me and began to deal with me, and he told me why he was there. He said, I'm here to keep you focused and keep you alive. You are needed right here in this world. That's why I'm standing here now. Otherwise, I would be gone. And I was almost one of those fellas. Now I'm standing here with my understanding. With everything that I need, I'm standing here with assurance. I'm standing here, and nothing whatsoever could ever take this emotion, this feeling, this gospel, if you want to call it that. I think it's beyond that. It's divine humanity now. It is way beyond good news. It is life itself. We come all the way through the stages, and we are the manifestation of life itself in full maturity. In full maturity. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful understanding. I love you. I hope that what I said helps you. And you're able to take these things. I'm just a representative. I gave you these things. I'll send the notes out. You think on them, and don't think on them and say, oh, I wish I was Don Parnell. I wish I could have that kind of vision. I wish the angels would deal with it. They are. They are dealing with you. When these things happen, you are part of this representation. They're bringing their life to you. Enjoy it. Look into it. Study it. And understand yourself. The greatest thing that happened to them that was so terrible was they could not discover themselves. They could discover everybody else, but not themselves. Discover yourself. Discover that you're Christ. Discover that you're holy. Discover that you're sinless. Discover that you're perfect. Discover and challenge anything that comes against you that says differently. Understand who you are. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this pillar of fire. We understand who you are. We understand what you've done for us. We thank you with all that's within us. Heal our bodies. Move inside me, inside this vessel. Let the fountain of water, let the artesian well begin to flow out in me. Heal my eyes, heal my hands, heal my feet. Heal me spiritually, open my mind. And I'm asking this for every single person that's out there that wants this understanding. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Love you all. Thank you for listening. And this means life to me. Love, bless.